The Vikings are on their way to London, and as you listen to this, probably so am I. Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. Show is on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. This episode is brought to you by Brightco Jewelry and Watch Insurance. Brightco brings you comprehensive, fast, and affordable jewelry insurance for as low as $5 per month. Check out your special offer for Locked On listeners and get covered in under 2 minutes at brite.co/lockedon. That's brite.co/lockedon. Today is the preview episode, the Friday episode, the preview in the London game. The game is on at 2:30 London time. That means it will be 8:30 a.m. Central time. So set your alarms, everybody. Get up. Don't stay out too late Saturday night. I am going to be at the game, which is going to change how this show will be next week. I'll talk more about that at the end if there's time, but just know, coming from a hotel room might sound a little different. Bear with me. But as you listen to this, I'm probably on the plane. And so are the Vikings. They leave left Thursday night, which is obviously after I'm recording this. It's the magic of time and editing. So let's talk about this Vikings-Saints game. Talked about it a bunch on Crossover Thursday with Ross. Some really interesting pessimism coming from Ross, which I'm not used to from him. He's usually like pretty defensive of the Saints. So that was, they really have to be bad to have like even broken Ross. And also we'll go through the You Betcha Grambling segment. We'll do a little bit of your bold predictions. All very exciting stuff here on Locked On Vikings. But before any of that, I guess we could talk like injury reports and news and just sort of like the general vibe here. So the Saints injury report is pretty intense. They're not sure if Michael Thomas will practice or play. They're not sure if Jameis Winston will play. In New Orleans, there's kind of an argument about if they want Jameis Winston to play. He's been very bad. He's been throwing a lot of interceptions. Some of them are fluky and some of them aren't, and it like exacerbates the problem. Like there are genuinely deserved interceptions, and then there are some that are like a well-placed ball tipped up in the air. The other team catches it, right? Or like Hail Marys, you know, stuff that you don't really blame the quarterback for. But there have been enough earned interceptions where like nobody's going to say that and be defensive, you know? So that is a part of it. And they're like, maybe we want Andy Dalton playing. So I don't know what's going to happen there, but the way I see that is if you've got a quarterback controversy, one of those quarterbacks getting injured just makes the decision for you, but it's not like there's a huge drop off unless somebody's very wrong about how good one guy is or the other. Right. So as I'm looking at it, full participation from Harrison Smith off his concussion. Za'Darius Smith did not participate with his knee injury on the Minnesota football party, which we recorded Thursday morning. Arif Sun said that the Vikings right now are expecting Za'Darius Smith to play. So maybe it's rest or maybe things went worse than they thought or something like that. But no participation there. CJ Ham has a foot injury. You've got Dalvin Cook with the shoulder. He has said he'll be a game time decision, so we don't need to track him all week. He's going to be a game day decision. And then, of course, Andrew Booth still not practicing, but they feel pretty good about him making his debut, or at least they feel good about his chance to make his debut on this game in London. So that's the Vikings injury report. The Saints, Jameis Winston, DMP. Michael Thomas, DMP. Ryan Ramczyk, rest day. Andres Pete, DNP with a concussion. Jarvis Landry, DNP. So two of their primary receivers, and I'm pretty sure they still don't know if you're going to get either of those guys. And you have a bunch of guys, Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, Marcus May, Marcus Davenport, Paulson Adebo, all limited with various dings here and there. So the Saints are not healthy, and that might be part of why they're so like ailing so much on offense. I can't get over it. I look at this roster and I see, you know, Jarvis Landry and Michael Thomas And Chris Olave seems to be like a pretty good player. Ryan Ramczyk up to front blocking, Alvin Kamara. How is this offense so bad? Like, they're doing bad. They have, check me on this, but I'm pretty sure they have yet to go into the fourth quarter with double digit points in all 3 weeks. What? That's insane. They have entered the fourth quarter. They've had three games. They've entered the fourth quarter in those three games respectively with 10 points, 7 points, and 0 points. And then those fourth quarters have had some garbage time or the Falcons blowing a lead. Like, something is deeply wrong with this offense. But the reason I was asking yesterday, Ross, about like a get right game and stuff is because there's something super wrong with the Vikings defense too. The points haven't quite been there because of game situation and stuff. And also, I mean, some they're getting a little bit of what they're paying for with the super deep umbrella coverage thing. You know, you're not blowing a whole bunch of big giant touchdowns unless you bust a coverage, which is also something that can happen. But like that happened against the Eagles, right? So there's, but that's like the only way, you know, you're not like getting one-on-ones down the field for a touchdown. And that's sort of the point of it, is to limit that even if you're playing poorly. But can the Saints find the mistakes that the Vikings make? That's a huge thing for me in this one. And then on the other side of the ball, the Saints have given up a lot of big plays to like playmakers, to like DJ Moore types. And, you know, they have let LaVisca Chenault house one on them. To, you know, guys doing things after the catch, and LaVisca Chenault's not even really known for that, but that's what is happening to them. Guys are getting the ball and doing stuff after the catch on them. They also had, I mean, they let Tom Brady drive down on him once, but like whatever, right? But that's the kind of thing that is sinking them right now on the defensive side of the ball. So who is that guy? It's like probably Justin Jefferson. And we'll get to it in the Grambling segment, but I'm going with a Justin Jefferson over in this game. I think this is going to be, he's going to show back up and he'll, you know, teams aren't going to, the Saints aren't going to sell out like the last two teams did, mostly because I don't think it worked for the Lions. And I think the Saints will be able to know that. So we're going to get into Grambling. We're going to get into your bold predictions, but that's what I think this game really comes down to on the whole is, can the Vikings limit enough mistakes so that the Saints can't have their get right game on offense? If that's the case, the Saints score 3 points in this game. Spoiler alert, I will be picking the Vikings. Not because I don't think the Saints can have a get right game. I really do think they can, but because you got to go on what you've seen so far, and it's been abysmal. I could see it turning around, but I certainly wouldn't put money on that. At the very best, I see it as like a 50-50. But before we get into all of that stuff too deeply, let me talk to you about Brightco. Brightco is insurance for jewelry or like your watch or something. People can be very careless about that. You lose it on a roller coaster or something. You lose it, go out canoeing. And this is the video I love to show on this. You go canoeing and you try to get down on one knee, but it screws up the balance of the canoe and then everything tips over. And suddenly that ring is gone. That thing's fish food. You don't want that to happen to you, right? That's what, 2 months salary it's supposed to be? 3 months salary, whatever it's supposed to be? Nope, that's not great. You don't want to lose that to the ocean. So get that thing insured. It's very easy to do this with Brightco. You can get covered in 2 minutes on the phone. Just go to bright.co/lockedon. That's bright.co/lockedon. No more excuses, and you can get it for just $5 a month. Totally comprehensive coverage, 2 minutes on the phone. Once again, that is bright.co/lockedon. All right, let's get a little bit of a gramble going. I got three grambles for you that I like today. I got four prop bets for the Vikings-Saints game in London. The first one is, I'm hedging a little bit. Here's the thing. I do think there will be more points in this one than the Saints have scored lately. It's a very low over-under. We're at 43.5. It was actually 42.5 when I recorded Crossover Thursday with Ross. It's now gone up a point. So people are hitting that over really hard, and I think they're correct too. So I am hitting over 43.5. I think points can be scored in this game, and there's a lot of ways to hit that over too, right? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be the get right game for the Saints. That could be, you know, 34-10, right? Like, let's say the Vikings just blow them out. And I do think that there's a world where the Saints miss a bunch of tackles and it's not going right and they're not getting the pressure that you want them to get. Or that like they've given up a lot on the ground. Like let's say Dalvin Cook is healthy and the harness thing becomes the deal, right? Like he came in with a harness and he ran for like 200 on the Steelers. He could do that kind of thing. I do think that there are ways to score in this game, even with teams that have been struggling to put up a ton of points. It's weird for me to take an over because unders have been hitting so hard this year. Like unders have been unbelievably successful, but I'm going to still do it. And I do think eventually that will even out because the market will adjust to, if there is a scoring trend, the market will adjust to it. And if not, it'll regress. So, I'm taking over 43.5 points in this one. And that doesn't have to be drastic too. 24-20 hits the over, right? So I do think that we can find that. I'm also, similarly, I'm taking Saints over 20.5. I do think the Saints will be able to find a way to score on these Vikings. I just don't trust the defense. That's kind of all it comes down to. It's too many coverage busts, and the problems that the defense, that are leading to teams scoring on the defense, are problems that don't get fixed overnight, and they certainly don't get fixed when you got international travel to work in. So I think the Saints can score, and I think the Vikings will have to score in turn to win this game, and I think they will. The line is still 2.5, Vikings by 2.5. It's not one of my bets in here, but I probably would still select it if I were forced to. But I'm taking other stuff in this particular one. Got a couple of wide receiver overs. They got a lot of overs in this London game. That's interesting. But you know what? Whatever. I like rooting for fun. I'm taking KJ Osborne over 33.5 yards. I think he can cross that in two catches because of the role that he has. And I can't get out of my head something Kirk Cousins said after the Lions game about like 2-minute drills with KJ Osborne and how progressions in 2-minute are a little bit more loosey-goosey and a little bit less like when you're in 2-minute, you're just kind of finding stuff and you're just playing a little bit more, a little bit less like you're reading a particular safety. You're not doing a high-low on a linebacker in 2-minute, you know, you're trying to get to the sidelines. So you're just finding who's open and you're going to find a lot more one-on-one. You're going to find a lot more man coverage. You're going to run a lot more man beaters. And in those situations, KJ Osborne kind of isn't as buried in the progression and therefore all the separation that he's getting turns out. I think this dude's playing really well, honestly. And plus a lot of attention is going to be on Justin Jefferson. I think a lot of attention could be on Adam Thielen after the game that he had in Detroit. So that leaves KJ Osborne. I think that he'll get a lot of one-on-ones and 33.5 ain't that much. And then the last one, I'm doing Justin Jefferson over 6.5 receptions. It's time for the prodigal son to come back. it's also plus 108 at BetOnline as of this recording, at least. JJ over 6.5 receptions. He hasn't crossed that in the last two games, and that's why it's plus 108. But if you've been listening to the show, you kind of understand the reason for that. And I just don't see the Saints selling out this way. Unless they want to do this the Belichick way, which is what I sort of talked about on Crossover Thursday, where you will double Justin Jefferson, but the cornerback doubling him is not your best cornerback, right? Put Paulson Adebo on Justin Jefferson underneath and a safety over top, and you've got him bracketed and he probably never gets thrown on. And then you put Marshawn Lattimore on Adam Thielen, and now you've got your best corner against their second best wide receiver. It's a very classic Belichick matchup thing. Like, they'll probably cap Jefferson a lot. Like, they're not just going to let him run around one-on-one on anybody. But I don't think they quite commit as much as the Lions did. I don't think they should commit as much as the Lions did. And so I don't think they do. I have to imagine that if I can find it, they can find it. So that's why I'm taking all these overs. And I think there's going to be, not like a ton, this isn't going to be like a 35-38 kind of game. But I do think there's going to be a bunch of scoring and getting Justin Jefferson 7 receptions. I also think the Vikings might force it a little bit. You could kind of see them giving him some quick pop passes and stuff that counts as a reception and trying to get the ball in his hands a little bit more, get him a little more involved, even if he's being bracketed, just to get him in the rhythm and stuff. Like, two games of Justin Jefferson being totally shut out, really hard to see that happening a third time. So I'm taking Jefferson over 6.5. I also have some bold predictions from you. You guys did great. I'm really excited about these bold predictions. That's what we're getting into next. It is bold prediction time. I was going to say that in a British accent. Just know that I've spared you that, and you're welcome. It's time to do some bold predictions. It is our weekly tradition here on the Locked On Vikings podcast. Every Friday before the game, I ask you for your bold predictions on Twitter on Thursday. I actually did it a day early this time because I got a flight to catch, so I'm recording things early. But got some great ones from you. Really love the vibes here. A lot of very London-y things. For example, we'll just get right in. Well, we got to go through last week's first. So we'll also revisit what we did last week, see if we got any right or wrong. So last week, Joshua Lampa said the Vikings defense would give up more rushing yards than passing yards. Loved where your head was at. Didn't get there. 277 net passing yards, which does include sacks, so I actually would have given you that. And then 139 rushing yards gained, but I would have given it to you net if that ended up being the difference. Skoll Actuary said that Amon-Ra doesn't score a receiving touchdown, but on fourth down, he throws a touchdown pass to a wide-open Jared Goff. We didn't get the Philly special. I don't think we got an Amon-Ra receiving touchdown, right? Yeah, no, he almost got one, but I don't believe he got a touchdown. Correct me if I'm wrong there. Maybe he did. Nicholas Bartels said that on 9/25/11, the exact same date as that game, Stafford had 378 yards, and in that game, Brandon Pettigrew and Megatron were over 100. So he thought that St. Brown and Hockenson would each have 100-yard games and Goff would go over 378. None of that happened. I do not believe Amon-Ra St. Brown had, he had 73 yards and no touchdowns. So none of that happened, but I love the idea. Ruben Frost said the exact same scoreline as the Rams-Vikings shootout and all touchdowns scored by running backs. I forgot about that one. We didn't get there. Didn't even get close. It was way more low scoring. I believe the under hit. Arias Time says Jefferson, Thielen, and KJ all have the exact same number of yards. Of course, that didn't happen because Justin Jefferson was like totally taken away. He only got 14 yards receiving. And then Milo Grams said the Minnesota Vikings will play 62 minutes and 57 seconds of football. No overtime. But again, I loved the weirdness of how that came to be. Let's go to this week's. Skoll Actuary says the queen reigned for 70 years. In honor of her, the teams will complete 70 or more passes between them. So that would mean 35 completions apiece on average, which is a lot. The over-unders are like in the 20s for both quarterbacks. So that would be pretty insane. Also, love the 70. There are some people trying to do stuff with like the year the queen took charge and stuff. Love all of it. This is the one I went with. Kyle Slaby said the game ends in a tie, bringing Kirk Cousins' international record as a starting QB to 0-0-2. This kills me. This makes me laugh very hard every time I remember that Kirk Cousins is 500 internationally despite having only played one game. It's so funny. It's so perfectly Kirk Cousins. But a tie, very a London tie, very bold thing to predict. But hey, Kirk, if anyone can do it, it's the person who's already done it. K. Phil says that the combined score of the game will equal the amount of goals Tottenham Hotspur scored last year. I don't know if you knew you were doing this, but that number is 69. So that's the over-under. The over-under for this game, 43.5. So you're saying that the over is going to cash by like 25 points. Plenty bold. Also, I just love where you're headed there because they're playing in Tottenham Stadium. King Squeaks says that Andy Dalton gores the Vikings defense so bad it creates a QB controversy in New Orleans. Okay, this one's a little interesting because there sort of already is one. But I will give it to you if Andy Dalton genuinely starts a game. And he also has to like play in this one and beat the Vikings so bad that you could tell it caused it. This is one of those we're going to have to like check on later. But Jameis Winston is playing so poorly that there are already Saints fans calling for Andy Dalton. So it has to like accelerate things in a meaningful sense. And we're going to have to look back later and see if like we think that it did. Scotchmastio, I never know how to say that, says that the sum of all of Greg Joseph's made field goals is more than the amount of Saints QB passing yards. Okay, so this would have to mean like the field goal distance yardage. So we'll have to do some math, which will be fun. I absolutely won't remember to do that next Friday, and then I'll be caught off guard, and there will be a very conspicuous cut. But yeah, so like if he makes 3 50-yard field goals, that's 150, and then that would have to be more than the Saints passing yards. It would mean the Saints have to get shut down and that there would have to be probably like a lot of field goals or a lot of really long field goals. But hey, the Vikings are willing to kick Greg Joseph from long. I mean, they had him kick from 56 twice, and that's like the very edge of his range. So they're definitely willing to do it, and they sure do know how to stall a drive around midfield. So there's also that. And then the last one comes from Coach Simons. We had to workshop this one a little bit. I deeply love it. Scrabble edition. Players whose last names have consonants appearing twice or more are responsible for our all scoring plays this weekend. I will amend to touchdowns because Greg Joseph does not have a double letter in his name. So we'll amend this to touchdown, not just scoring plays. It's still plenty bold. We had to work it a little bit to make sure we weren't getting anything. But here are those players for the Vikings. That's Justin Jefferson, Alexander Mattison, Ben Ellison, and Jalen Reagor. For the Saints, it's Taysom Hill, Juwan Johnson, Nick Vinette, Marquez Callaway, and Dwayne Washington. Those are the players of people who have like caught a pass. Those are the players who fit that bill, which would be no Thielen, no KJ Osborne, who does have a double letter, but it's a vowel. Same with Cook, no Dalvin Cook, no Kamara. No Michael Thomas, no Chris Olave. There's a lot of players out. So this is fairly bold. Also, awesome. I love how egregiously stupid that is. That's the bold prediction segment. That's the essence. Perfect. I love this one. You guys did great. So next time we talk, I will be from a hotel room in London, talking about the game that I will have just been at. So I will just bear with me as I figure out tech. There might be audio issues and stuff. I've got a new setup that I'm figuring out. So please bear with me. Also, patreon.com/LukeBrownNFL is where you can find all sorts of stuff. I have a Kirk Cousins accuracy breakdown. Like what was, you know, there was like some misses. There were a lot of misses, like the one KJ Osborne all the way down the field that was like wide open, but there were some other ones that like went too far over their head or just weren't good throws. What was going on there? Is there a mechanical thing? Is there a concern? Was it pressure? How does pressure cause that? Like all of that stuff. We're just kind of watching his mechanics. Also a primer on the run game of like, how does it work? What is zone duo? What's the point of those plays? Why are they designed the way that they are? And then also a defensive breakdown of where the Vikings are going wrong, as told by all the fourth down conversions from the Lions game. That's going to be kind of what the Patreon is. It's all like film breakdowns and retrospectives of the previous game. I don't do a lot of previewing on there. So go check that out. I won't be doing anything while I'm on vacation in London. I'm going to try to work as little as possible. I'm sure you understand. But then when we're back, we'll go ham, maybe do some stuff on the Saints and the Bears games, or come around to the Saints game eventually, because I'm sure I'll be dying to break down the tape. I will see you all Monday from across the pond. And as always, Skol.